Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet. Look, it calls a certain place the synagogue of Satan. Now, taking the word synagogue from the actual Greek, it means a gathering. A gathering of demon forces over in that particular area. Then look at chapter 2, verse 13. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Aha. See, Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be at two places at the same time. He is only, after all, a fallen angel. At best. So he cannot be at two places at one time. Although he can travel very fast. And Satan has his spiritual headquarters here and there. He shifts them from time to time. Now, some of you say, okay, take a guess. Take a guess. Right now, from our physical point of view, in terms of illustration, where do you think Satan's headquarters is? Take a guess. No, no, he's not in Canberra at the moment. Right. Okay. We are not that important in terms of the world yet. Now, to lead you to guess, from whichever point where the world can be influenced. Middle East. America, yes. Pretty good there. Now, whichever country is dominating the world, who do you think is interested? Satan. Okay, let's put it this way, right? Without making you backslide. If you were Satan, that's an evil laugh, right? If you were Satan, where would you make your headquarters? Wherever you can influence the world. Now, he's much smarter than that. He would. And at the moment, he's slowly shifting it to Europe. Oh, yeah. He's taking him a long time to bring all his luggage over, right? But whichever nation or city dominates the world, at the sideline, you find Satan there hanging around. Now, from God's point of view, God has a destiny for every nation. Every nation is born with our destiny. Australia hasn't discovered our full one yet. We were called the Southland of the Holy Spirit. We haven't fulfilled that yet. We were born with a destiny in that. That's why Australia has a part in the last day revival. And God has a good plan for every nation. The devil has a corrupted plan. Now, think about people like Elvis Presley, right? Now, he may actually be repent and be born again before he died, right? In his early days, he was in the Lord. Then he left the Lord. There is a high possibility, according to some close sources that I know, that he could attend to the Lord towards the last few days, right? There is a possibility. But most of his life, he was used by the devil. Who gave him the ability to sing? And who has a destiny in his life? God. He was destined for music. But the devil grabbed that gift and used it. That's what's happening. The same way with the nations. Every nation has a destiny. And the devil tries to grab the destiny of the nation and corrupt it. So while at the same time, do you notice that the leadership of the gospel has shifted? The center of Christianity was Jerusalem when the church was started. And then Antioch. Then somewhere in the Middle Ages, it shifted to England. England became like the it became a nation that held the responsibility for the propagation of the gospel. After some time, it went to America. Right? When England fall into the background, America became the nation over the 20th century. America was a prime nation that was influencing the world as far as Christianity is concerned. Good or bad, I mean. Let's say mostly good. And over the end part of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century now, we realize that most Christianity is now centered around the African Asian region. And Australia is finding its place. There are more Christians now, and stronger Christians sometimes, in Asian countries, in African countries, and in the Pacific region. There is a shift. And then there will be a shift to Australia, where there we will find our destiny and take our place among the nations of the world for good. And finally, it will shift back to Jerusalem. Completes the cycle from Jerusalem to the north in England, to the west in America, to the east, which includes Africa, Asia, to the south in Australia, and back again to Jerusalem being the center. That will be the shift. God's plan, God's destiny. Now the devil will look at that and try to corrupt the plan. So at the same time as in the 20th century, where America sent out the most missionaries throughout the whole world and influenced Christianity as a whole throughout the 20th century, at the same time, it also exported its Hollywood morality throughout the world and its Las Vegas lifestyle. So you notice, the good come out, devil tries to put his headquarters there, export the bad as well. So all the time, Satan is one step behind God, trying to copy him, corrupt all his ways. That is how all the nations of the world are arranged. And sometimes if you are an important instrument for God, Satan even assigns one who is big fellows, fallen angel, against you. You think about just casting out demons here and there. You think about the Paul. Paul was an important instrument in God, because Paul's life was going to be used by God to write almost 1/3 of the New Testament, which he probably didn't know. And his life was going to influence most of Gentile Christianity. So Satan realized that, this is an important vessel for God. Let me try to destroy him. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we were told by Paul in verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me," and the Greek word says, "an angel of Satan to buffet me." That was satanic attack. Now, we all know we don't have to be afraid of the demon forces, right? Towards the end, I'll share the authority. So, if halfway through you get frightened, hold on to your chairs, right? We are not finished yet. No, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. You don't have to be afraid of his fallen angel, even if, you know, they seem taller than you. But just to let us know that fallen angels are the first rank of Satan's kingdom. And they go to and fro. I mean, they're busy all the time doing all the evil things. While God, who has more angels, there are more angels working for us. Now here, to encourage you a little bit, you know, if Satan has assigned an angel for you, fallen angel, God probably has assigned more than one big mighty angel for you. Right? Remember when Paul was shipwrecked, And he told the people, he says, an angel of God to whom I belong has spoken to me about this and all these things, and not a single one of you shall be lost in the shipwreck. So God would also assign his angel to you. And we need to learn how to cooperate with the angels. Now remember, some of us think that, you know, all angels are stereotype, chopped from the factory, they all behave the same way, you know. They are personality. No two human beings are the same. Do you know all angels also got their personality? Right? When you get back to heaven and you meet Gabriel, the angel, he says, "Hello, Gabriel." And Gabriel says, "Hello." And he says, "Hello, Michael." Michael says, "Hello." Right? He will have a different personality, different voice altogether. As many angels as they are, each one of them has a different personality. It's an interesting spiritual world out there. And it's happening all the time while here we are, you know. Think about, are we human beings? We are so ignorant of what's going on in the spiritual world. And you know, in the spiritual world, there are demon forces, and they are looking at you, watching you, you know. And it reminds me of Snoopy sitting on his doghouse, playing the vulture. He go, and then he aims at a certain person. So they're looking at the human race and being predators over the human race. And so there's a fallen angels, and they are mainly the main organizational structure that Satan has in place. Now the second rung, which is called in Ephesians 6, the rulers of the darkness of this age. And then the third rung and the fourth rung called principalities and powers. All they are in all different shapes and sizes. The second, third, and the fourth rung, these demons cannot fly. They can't fly. They are different from the fallen angels that can fly. So they are demons that are bound to this earth. And they are in all shapes and sizes. The highest of those, what I call earthbound demons, rulers of the darkness of this age, and we'll explain afterwards, where are they from? Where do they come from? Now, do you remember that we know where the one-third of fallen angels came from? But where do demons come from? Because these demons like to possess human beings. You know, when a human being is possessed, like the guy who was possessed by the legion, he is in charge of 6,000 others. A legion being 6,000. If you take that figure, then it's 6,000. He says, "My name is Legion and we are many." And they possess that one individual. So he is like the head demon over all the rest. And personally, I've seen different types of demons. And talk about encounter with demons. Just begin sharing a few little stories, because some of you will find similarity in that. It's a very common experience that sometimes people, in the early days of their spiritual life, this, it never happened again, you know, after the first few years of Christian life, that, you know how sometimes when you're sleeping, and you're probably halfway between sleep and wake, and you feel something come on top of you, and then, you know, for a moment you got no voice to scream. And being Christian, you want to call on Jesus. And you want to call, there's no voice. Finally, you manage to call Jesus. And the whole thing goes. You know what was happening? One of these, you know, vagabond demons are looking around, climb through your window probably. And they sit on top of you. And you felt like the demon sitting. Right? You see, why do demons do that? Right? They like to harass. And I found it's common experience. And so this was, it happened a few times in my early life before I was born again. I couldn't do nothing about it. But after I was born again, I realized that the name of Jesus means a lot. And the moment you could speak out that name, they run. Demons are scared of the name of Jesus.